A symphony orchestra is an extraordinary ensemble of performers. In the case of the RSNO, 89 musicians whose talent and dedication to music enable stunning performances and recordings, as well as projects in schools and communities across Scotland that deeply enhance the lives of those that they touch with their work. We have a history of excellence and outstanding performance, but in everything we do, we're driven by three main aims: bringing music to new audiences in new ways, sharing music across Scotland and involving ever greater numbers of young people, playing amongst a field of international orchestras that can attract the finest artists. Our main series takes us across Scotland to its six main cities: Aberdeen, Dundee, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Inverness, Perth. This makes us one of the most active orchestras in the UK. We're not aligned to one city, one region, but across a whole nation. We reach a live audience of over 140,000 people each year. We travel nearly 50,000 miles the length and breadth of the country. But we're aware that music is not necessarily about listening to music in a concert hall. It's not just about learning about music. What really matters to us is giving people the opportunity to have a musical experience in an environment that they feel comfortable in. A chance that allows them to open their minds to the power of live music. We all know that taking part in music making improves confidence, self-esteem, and can promote a community spirit. And so nearly 25,000 people beyond the platform engaged with the orchestra last year. The arts enjoy a vibrant and central role within Scottish life. Culture is a devolved matter under the legislature of the Scottish Parliament and not the UK government in Westminster. 5 years ago, we were formally designated as one of five national performing arts organisations, receiving our grant funding directly from the Scottish Government. We were joined by Scottish Ballet, Scottish Opera, Scottish Chamber Orchestra, and the National Theatre of Scotland. Since this direct funding relationship, we have jointly delivered more than 3,500 performances to 2.2 million people. This equates to 42%, nearly half of Scotland's entire population. And I'm proud that a 2010 Scottish Government report into our collective efforts and achievements stated that the RSNO not only reached the most people, but secured the highest level of self-generated income. However, taking a full symphony orchestra across Scotland requires significant financial support. Our national funding and funding at civic level covers approximately 60% of our total expenses, with a further 23% from earned income, ticket sales, recordings, and 17% from fundraised income. Given current economic constraints and diminishing government resources to go around, this is clearly an unsustainable model going forward. It's therefore an absolute imperative for us to ensure that this public sector investment is visibly reduced as the backbone of our balance sheet. Many of you will be aware that a referendum on Scotland's independence will be held in 2014. There is clearly significant uncertainty on how a number of income drivers would operate under an independent administration. Such examples include the stock market, the national lottery, the UK trust and foundation sector, worth in excess of £3.9 billion each year to the charitable sector as a whole. Network broadcasting, including BBC Radio 3 and Classic FM, both partners with whom we enjoy a variety of media partnerships and interests, would also come under the independent spotlight, with consequences for Scottish orchestras that currently enjoy a UK-wide profile. Whatever the outcome, the importance of securing privately fundraised sources cannot be underestimated as we seek long-term solutions to lessen our dependency on central government funding. The RSNO is a dynamic, thriving organisation. Audiences' numbers continue to climb. We're on course to balance our budget for the fifth year running. Whilst this is very encouraging in these challenging times, we are absolutely resolute not to rest on our laurels in any aspect of our work. We continue to take an honest and realistic approach to living within our means without compromising our well-earned reputation for excellence and creativity, which have taken years of hard work and dedication to achieve. When the orchestra is not performing concerts or making recordings, it is not generating earned income. Therefore, we cannot reiterate enough the importance of deriving and maintaining the balance of funding from across the philanthropic sector. Major donors, patrons, sponsors, trusts and foundations. Without the significant long-term investment from these private sources, we would be faced with making some very difficult decisions. Radically scaling back many aspects of our performance and educational ambitions. But these are not an option if we are to fulfill our remit as Scotland's great National Symphony Orchestra. Innovation, diversification, and collaboration are what lie ahead for us. We face our future with creativity and confidence. At the heart of this lie our audiences on and off the concert platform. They are our lifeblood. They are our future. So how do we attract the next generation of concertgoers? How do we instill a passion for music at an early age that will last a lifetime? How do we demystify and challenge the traditional assumptions about classical music in the concert hall? How do we, as Scotland's National Orchestra, create a sense of ownership of the RSNO, regardless of social, economic, or geographic barriers? The RSNO, we are fully committed to bringing the power of live orchestral music to young people and families. On average, there are now over 100 young people at each of our concerts, nearly 10% of our total audience. Under 26s can enjoy a night out with the RSNO for just £5. And we are proud that we are the only orchestra in the UK to enable children under 16 to go free to any main season concert. And now we're taking our commitment to young people even further. Scotland's 60,000 babies born each year. Starting this month for a year, when each birth is registered, parents will receive a star, Gaelic for Journey, a CD featuring Scottish songs, nursery rhymes, well-known classical works. Our hope is that this will start a lifelong musical journey for families. Workshops are planned, and there's an invitation to sign up to our Under Fives initiative, completing our milestones for introducing the intangible magic of music to young people at key moments in their lives. Taking this further, though, how do we engage with new, older audiences, and where can they enjoy an introduction to classical music in an informal style? We want to inspire those who may not have had the opportunity to attend a live orchestral concert before. Naked Classics is the RSNO's hugely successful concert series, which seeks to reveal the stories behind the world's greatest musical masterpieces, and since 2007 has introduced many hundreds of people to classical music. Each concert focuses on one masterpiece of the orchestral repertoire. The first half, the audience is guided through an exploration of the piece, non-technical analysis, vibrant multimedia graphics, on-stage interviews, and live demonstrations of sections of the piece from players in the orchestra. In the second half, the orchestra plays the piece in full, providing the audience with the opportunity to listen with a new sense of discovery. This program is unique in the UK in the way in which it embraces and ties together our audience development and community engagement goals. Prior to each concert, we organize regular and informal visits from our musicians to community groups to spark enthusiasm for the music they will hear in the familiar environment of their own community. Our aim is to demystify and challenge the traditional assumptions about the rituals of concert going, long before the concert hall experience itself. We offer free or discounted tickets with incentives to encourage repeat attendance. However, we're not content to confine ourselves to the concert halls of Scotland. We want to be out and about, celebrating music in the community. We know that it is often the work we do in these local settings which has the most profound effect in transforming people's lives, placing classical music at the heart of cultural life in Scotland. One of the most important projects we undertake each year is to take the inspirational experience of hearing and working with a symphony orchestra to places which do not have access to great music and music making on their doorstep. This year was our most ambitious. We set off for the Shetland Islands, the most northerly part of Scotland. It was the first visit by a symphony orchestra in over 20 years, the first time that all primary schools in the region had gathered under one roof for an event, and the most northerly performance of BBC Music Nation, part of the cultural contribution to the Olympic Games, hosted in London earlier this year. This extraordinary success in collaboration with major sponsors was rewarded only last week with a National Arts and Business Award. I spoke earlier about our three founding aims: regenerating our audiences, extending our social reach, ensuring that we continue to be Scotland's musical flagship. But all this requires investment, significant investment, long-term investment. 6 years ago, we seized a unique opportunity with the arrival of a new music director, Stéphane Deneuve, and a new chief executive within 6 weeks of each other. Our budgetary challenges were enormous at this time. There was a significant threat to our livelihood and our ongoing ability to survive and thrive. As corporate sponsorship softened and continues to do so across the arts, government funding levels were a subject of major debate. We knew we had to take urgent action to step up our level of private contributions. Our Music Directors Fund was established to support our three critical areas and provide a bedrock of sustainable, recurring, annual private funding. We set the bar high, welcoming individual gifts in excess of £10,000 per annum. Today, that fund is thriving, with individual commitments to the orchestra stretching to 2018 and over £1 million invested or pledged since it was established in 2006. This is an elite group of supporters who embrace our vision and whose outstanding philanthropy enables us to pursue our ambitions of access, excellence, and inspiration. Last month, we welcomed a new era of distinction for the orchestra with the arrival of our new music director, Peter Ungern, as Stéphane's successor. Peter's appointment is a fantastic coup for us. He brings with him a fresh vision for our performances and programming. His love and passion for music is palpable, and we look forward to seeing the Music Directors Fund flourish as he leads us to ever greater levels of musical success and provides us with new music-making opportunities and collaborations. We travel to China over the new year. Major recordings are in the pipeline, and new partnerships are being developed with artists and other music-making organizations. However, none of this will be possible if the Music Directors Fund does not continue to be at the forefront of our philanthropic endeavors. How have we managed to achieve the success, you may be asking yourselves? We needed to bring together new external leaders for our fundraising activity. By leaders, I mean people who are prepared to give themselves and take an active lead in getting. We needed a group of individuals who were clearly and simply committed to raising funds for the orchestra, advocates for our work, introducing us to potential sponsors, even making the ask on our behalf. Our products may be innovative, our performance is superlative, but ultimately, people give to people. Nothing beats the power of the peer-to-peer ask. The most effective fundraisers are choreographers, there to do the research, set the scene, enable the approach from the most effective individual prepared to promote the orchestra amongst his or her networks. Our development board, and latterly our campaign board, is a dynamic group of activists. They are not committee members. They are passionate about the work of the orchestra, have the capacity to give themselves, and are well connected, prepared to actively solicit gifts from their contacts. Meetings are kept to a minimum. And of course, we are all blessed with the ultimate showcase to cultivate our prospects, a great concert, keeping the music at the heart of our enterprise. Corporate sponsorship is a challenging market, but the orchestra enjoys a number of high-profile and established partnerships, most notably with Total, the international oil and gas company. Its commitment to corporate social responsibility is exemplary. As headline sponsors of the Total Deneuve series throughout Stéphane's tenure, their involvement has gone even further. Their long-term commitment and involvement to reach beyond immediate strategic business aims and objectives has enabled our partnership to make an extraordinary difference to those they employ and the communities we serve. They are enlightened benefactors, delivering significant benefits through their extensive investment in our education and community projects. Most notably, our visit to Shetland, which saw our partnership reap that coveted national award I mentioned earlier. These snapshots of our endeavours will, I hope, help to show what a 21st orchestra that serves a whole nation can achieve. But we want to do more. We need to do more. We've taken the bold and brave steps of launching a campaign to raise funds for a new home and sustain and grow our current programme of activities throughout Scotland. With the new leadership of our Chief Executive, Michael Elliott, previously with the Department of Culture, Media, Sport in Westminster, and before that, Chief Executive of the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, this is an invigorating chapter in our history as we seek support for our New Home, New Ambitions campaign. But our campaign's not about bricks and mortar. Our new facilities will importantly enhance our ability to build upon recent improvements in our artistic quality and to extend the range of all our community work. Our current home is over 30 years old. It suffers from poor acoustics, little provision for those with disability, inadequate facilities for practice, for rehearsal, for recording. The general fabric condition is poor and continues to deteriorate. So our moment has come to seek a new home. As Antonio said earlier, building a library will not create new readers. It's not a concert hall in the traditional sense. We are creating a hub for learning, study, and exchange in music. The latest digital and internet technology will be built in. At the touch of a button, we can be back in touch with Shetland, picking up where we left off with our visit earlier this year. No longer will communities be distanced from their National Symphony Orchestra on the grounds of geographic barriers. What we are proposing will position us as leaders in digital music making. No other cultural organisation in Scotland is investing in the future in this way. These digital ambitions demonstrate our pioneering approach to inclusion. Music can be for everyone, regardless of geographic, social, or economic constraints. We have already secured substantial partnership funding. The total project cost is £15 million, and we're well on our way to achieving this target. At a national level, the Scottish Government has committed £7 million. Our new home will be part of the cultural legacy as we host the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow in 2014. The City Council in Glasgow has pledged £5 million, and the balance of £3 million is our responsibility at the RSNO to raise. Encouraging signals from Creative Scotland, the arm's length national arts funding body, sees a £1.25 million gift earmarked from its role as a conduit for the National Lottery's Capital Grants Programme. We're hoping that Christmas can come early at the RSNO, as an outcome will be known before the end of the year. But our plans for our new home are all set against a backdrop that does not in any way rob our revenue streams. Hence, the new ambitions angle to our campaign, which ensures that we can invite everyone to support us, wherever they may be in Scotland, to be involved in our programmes and activities in their community. The RSNO is in fine shape, rising audience numbers, increasing young people's attendance, together with a healthy balance sheet. Our sincere hope is that our new home in Glasgow will enable us to create new activities with artists, audiences, and communities all over Scotland, now and in the future. Stay tuned.